Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Genesis chapter number 29, verse 31 through 35. And the word of the Lord says this: When the Lord saw that ugly was unloved, he opened up her womb, but beautiful Rachel was barren. So ugly Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, The Lord has surely looked upon my affliction, or the Lord has seen me. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore another son, and said, Because the Lord has heard me that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son, and also, so I will call his name Simon, or the Lord heard me. The Lord seed me, and the Lord heard me. Verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son, and said, Now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi, or the Lord never leaves me. Verse 35, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name, everybody say Judah, which means I've got a reason to praise. Then she stopped bearing children. Four sons, Reuben, God sees, Simon, God hears, Levi, God is attached, and Judah, I praise. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject matter that your ugly is about to give birth to your praise. Your ugly is about to give birth to your praise. Just grab that hand, the one standing next to you. I want to pray because I believe God is going to do some supernatural things in this room today. I'm a big series guy. We're in the middle of a prayer series, but God had apprehended my heart to give you what God is saying to you today, and I believe it's going to bring strength to your spirit. Father, I thank you for everyone who is here this morning. God, I pray that you help them, Father, today. I pray that you help them to overcome oppression, depression. God, I pray that you would set them free, deliver them. God, I pray that you would do supernatural things in their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would flip the script on the agenda of the enemy. God, I'm so thankful that the devil is dreaming about us and LifeGate Church is about to become his greatest nightmare. God, I pray that you would do something supernatural in this room in the precious name of Jesus. And the people of God said amen and amen. Hey, before you're seated, reach over and touch somebody and say, that ugly is about to be a praise. It's good to have Tammy and Scott Ponder in the house today. I want to welcome them. She was in the hospital fighting this week, and Janine was in first service, and it was so good to see her. She's been fighting and was in the hospital, and it is good to have a founding member in the building all the way from Texas. Can we give it up for Miss Nora, who's in the church today? So glad to see your pretty face. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter number 29 is filled with all kinds of drama. As a matter of fact, in this portion of scripture that we just read today, it would make a program like Maury Povich blush because it's so much drama. There's four main people to see here in this passage of scripture. There's Jacob, there's Laban, there's Rachel, and there is Leah. Now, to better understand where we are at in the Bible, I think it's good to have an understanding of where we just came from. Jacob had just been sent away by his daddy. There's family drama going on between Jacob and Esau. They're at each other's throat. Esau hates Jacob because Jacob tricked his brother. And so his daddy, Isaac, said, why don't you go to your uncle's house to find you a wife? That's creepy right there. I don't know what that's all about. So he goes to look for his uncle Laban to marry one of Laban's daughters, his first cousin. On his way to marry his first cousin, he has a dream. In the dream, he sees a ladder where angels are ascending to the heavens and descending back down to the earth. He wakes up and he builds an altar, and there he begins to worship God. After he's done worshiping God, he goes back on his journey to find his wife. Chapter 29 begins where Jacob stops at a well because he sees all kinds of shepherds and lady shepherds feeding and getting water for their flock. And he sees this woman by the name of Rachel. Now, the Bible said that Rachel had a beautiful bodily form. In other words, she had more curves than a Hot Wheels racetrack. In other words, she was so hot, she had the devil sweating. She was beautiful. She was gorgeous. She was everything that Rachel wanted from the natural part of it. She was beautiful. And so he quickly runs to her and kisses her, your Bible says, immediately. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife, when I first met her, she would have punched me across the head. It, well, first off, it was illegal, but if I would have ran to her and kissed her, first off, it would have been a fight. Can the ladies say amen? But for some reason, we don't see any fight back from Rachel. So Jacob had to be one good-looking guy too. And so the two of them fall in love. And she says, you got to come to my daddy's house to meet Laban before I can marry you. So he goes to Uncle Laban's house. Laban then introduces him to his other daughter, whose name is ugly. I mean, her name is Leah. And the Bible said that Leah was ugly. How many's ever seen an ugly woman before? Help me out there, minister. She was ugly. Leah was ugly. Don't nudge your neighbor or nothing like that. But Leah was ugly. The Bible said she was fair-eyed. Leah was fair-eyed. In other words, Leah was ugly. She had man shoulders and a deep voice, and she growled when she talked. And she had a unibrow, bow-legged, buck-tooth, cock-eyed. Leah was a woman with a hormone problem. She was ugly. Look at your neighbor. No, I'm kidding. Don't look at your neighbor. Jacob sees Leah and he grabs his chest and about has a heart attack because he's thinking, how can you and her come out the same DNA? Because one is beautiful, one is ugly. Isn't it funny how humanity tends to lean to what is pretty and attractive, and we lean to go away from what is ugly? Y'all do it. I mean, you married look at the wife you married, she's pretty, so you lean to what you think is attractive to you. Jacob tells Laban, let me marry Rachel. So Laban says, all right, you got to work for me for 7 years. After the 7 years is over, you can go ahead and marry my daughter. So Jacob's out there working in the fields. He's milking cows and he's shearing the sheep and he's working for his soon-to-be father-in-law. Meanwhile, Laban is preparing a wedding for his daughter and his soon-to-be nephew, the son-in-law, however that works out. And so they're preparing a wedding. And so they're buying the wedding dress. They're renting the fellowship hall. They're renting the church. They're hiring the preacher at $2,000 an hour to pay him to do the wedding. I mean, they're doing everything they know to do to make sure the wedding is ready to go because his beautiful baby is about to get married. They have a wedding. It comes to that day, and Jacob is at the back with his best men, and the groomsmen are there, and they're cutting up, talking about what a time they're going to have in just a few hours. They have the wedding. They come stand before the preacher. They say their vows. He pronounces them man and wife. He kisses the bride. They go to the hall, and they begin to... They had to smoke a lot of weed and drink a lot of Hennessy because the Bible said they went to bed, consummated their marriage. They woke up the next morning and your Bible said, behold, there was Leah. So Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel, kissing Rachel, sleeping with Rachel that night. I don't know what the man was smoking or drinking for him to be that blinded to see. That wasn't beautiful, but that was ugly. And the Bible then said that Rachel was still in his heart because he loved Rachel more than he did Leah. He came back to Laban and said, why did you deceive me? Well, what comes around goes around. He sowed deception to his brother, and now he's being deceived. He gets deceived and says, I still want to marry Rachel. He says, you got to work for me for 7 years. 7 years go by. He marries Rachel. They consummate their marriage. And now Jacob is living with four women. Rachel, Leah, and two maids. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but it's hard to get one woman and you on the same page, let alone for Jacob. What I'm trying to say is Jacob must have been some one bad dude to have four women all on the same page as Jacob. Jacob, your Bible said, though, loved Rachel more than he did Leah. He was in love with Rachel more than he was in love with Rachel. Yeah, or Leah, Rachel over Leah. You ever been the sibling that was the less one than the other one? Rachel was the beautiful one. Leah was the ugly one. Anybody ever been in a family dynamic like that? Don't look at nobody in the room. Praise the Lord. Rachel was the smart one. Leah needed a little bit of help. Rachel had confidence. Leah had no confidence. Rachel looked like she just stepped out of the Kardashians' household. Leah looked like she done stepped out of a mountain somewhere. There were two different types of people, two different types of confidence, and your Bible said that Jacob loved Rachel. Anybody in this room ever seen, don't be mad at me or throw tomatoes at me, but you ever seen an ugly baby? Like, what are you supposed to say to the parents of an ugly baby? You know, like Leah was always known as the ugly baby. Like, what are you supposed to say when you see an ugly baby? Well, aren't their toes pretty? Aren't their fingers pretty? Isn't that just a cute torso? So Rachel was the pretty baby and Leah was the ugly child. But ugly gave birth to four children. I just came up in here this morning to tell somebody, you may be in an ugly season today. You may be in a season that is not beautiful. You may be in a season that you want to look away from. Things may not be going your way. Things may be ugly. Your marriage may be ugly. Your money may be acting ugly. Your situation may be ugly. The doctor's report may be ugly. The lawyer's report may be ugly. But I just came up in here to tell you today that your ugly is about to give birth to your praise. God's about to flip the script. He's about to turn things around for you. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning time. Look at your neighbor and say, God's about to do it. The itsy bitsy spider crawled up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. That's where some of you are today. You feel like life has washed you out. You feel like it's thunderstorm after storm after rain after perpetual thunderstorm. But I'm here to tell you today, in the words of that little short redheaded girl, the sun's going to come out tomorrow. Oh, weeping may endure right now, but God is about to give you breakthrough. You're ugly. Oh, it's about to give birth to your praise. Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching to me. He's talking to me. Your past, some of you, your past looks ugly. I know y'all gonna say nothing on this right here. Your past is ugly. Who you was with was an ugly situation. What you smoked up was ugly. Your arms got scars on them from what was ugly. What you smoked was ugly. What you drank was ugly. Where you went was ugly. But God is in the business of flipping things around. God is in the business of turning. He takes prostitutes and cleans them up. He takes suicidal folks and delivers them. He takes gay folks and delivers. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but it's all right. He'll take the want-to right out of your mouth. He'll take the desire right out of your spirit, because that's the kind of God we serve. He's a big, 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 big God. He's going to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I looked up this word ugly in the dictionary. I wanted a good definition. The word ugly means unpleasant to look at. I'm thankful when I go to bed, what I got to look at is pleasant. When I wake up in the morning, who I have to look at is pleasant. When I walk through the day, I just start staring at it like, how in the world did this mug get that? That's pleasant. Then I spray on some Creed and then I'm like, I'm pleasant. Pleasant. Ugly is something you look at that's not pleasant. I don't like pulling up in my driveway because my driveway is ugly. It's all busted up and broken, snaggletooth everywhere. It's ugly. I've been in some situations in my life that I thought were ugly. It wasn't pleasant to be in the middle of that storm. Come on, y'all ain't saying nothing. It wasn't pleasant to face that issue I had to face. It wasn't pleasant to go through what I had to go through. Come on. It wasn't fun to have to face the music and go through what I was about to have to go through. But Leah had a revelation that I want you to have today. Leah had an understanding about God that I want you to see today. She knew something about God that we all need to know today. So when you face ugly, when you face the storm, because the storm is coming, the fight will come, the tribulation will come, the trial will come, but you got to see God as who he is in order for you to get through that trial. Oh, Jesus. The Bible said that Leah and Jacob conceived and they had one son and his name was Reuben. They had another son and his name was Simon. Their names literally mean God hears and God sees. Now, this encourages me and it should encourage you. Because wherever you are in life right now, God sees you. Wherever you are at in life right now, God hears you. You say, but Pastor, I'm so far away from God. There is no distance between you and God. There is no miles. He can enter a crack house. He can enter a strip house. He can enter the White House. He can enter a gang house. He can enter your house. He can enter a schoolhouse. And thank be to God Almighty, he's up in his house. God hears you and God sees you. Aren't you thankful that God seen you when you were an addicted mess? Come on. Aren't you thankful that God seen you when you was broken? Aren't you glad that God seen you when you was strung out? Aren't you glad he saw you when you got molested? He seen you after you had to come over the repercussions of hurt, rejection, abandonment, fatherlessness, brokenness. Aren't you glad that God seen you? You say, preacher, I found God. You didn't find God. You didn't know where to look. The Bible said God ripped the floorboards off to look for that lost coin. He left the 99 to come look for you. God sees you and God hears you. Pastor, I don't think God can hear me. I'm going through this storm of life. The storm is louder than God, honey. There ain't nothing louder than God. His ears are tuned to your problem. His ears are tuned to your situation. He sees everything in your life that's ugly. He sees the pain in your life that's ugly. He sees the division in your life that's ugly. And he hears and he sees you. Look at your neighbor and say, God hears you. And God sees you. He sees you, Leah. He sees you, Leah. Leah wasn't picked first. She was picked last. Nobody wanted Leah, but God wants you. God's picking you. You know, you can't get away from him. You can't outdo him. You can't outget. Listen, there's not enough crack to smoke, not enough heroin to shoot up, not enough dope to snort up your nose for God not to want to come and get you. Are you hearing me today? There's not enough grit. There's not enough grime. There's not enough sin for God to come and find you. You might be here today higher than a kite. You might be here today strung out. You might be here today bound and addicted to pornography, but God sees you. God hears you, and the good part about it is he wants you. He desires you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to feel his love. He wants you to feel his embrace, because he is God and he's a good, good father. Just push your neighbor. So that's how we do around here. Ugly. Ugly. I'm glad that my ugly's on his radar. Come on, I'm glad my ugly's on his radar. There's things in my life I don't understand. There's things in my life I can't dial in, but God is dialing them in. There's things in my life that make me scratch my head and be like, God, I don't know where you are. I pray and I don't think you see me. I ask and I think you need a hearing aid because I don't think you hear me. I push in and I feel like you do nothing and the enemy pushes me back. I feel like I get 5 steps forward in this area and the devil knocks me back 565. God, do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Do you see me? I'm right here in Little Lodabar, Independence, Missouri. Do you hear me? Me, God, do you see me? You got to settle this in your mind, because once you realize God hears you no matter what, once you realize God sees you no matter what, it does something on the inside of your spirit. It changes the dynamics of your faith. You can go through hell, but if you know God is seeing you, God hears you, you know faith is going to get up on the inside of you, and you're going to just touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God sees you. No, prophesy it to him. No, neighbor, God hears you. He hears you. He hears you crying out, Liza. He sees them tears coming down your face, Liza. Rob, he heard you when the doctor said you were going to die and not live. He heard your prayer. He sees your brokenness. He's... So thankful when I was broken. Just takes one word. Jesus. All these saints act like I gotta have a degree to learn how to pray. No, you don't. You just need to know one word. Jesus. Some of you think you need to go to seminary school to learn how to pray, and seminary is not what you need to know how to pray. All you need to know is one name, Jesus. I'm so thankful that he hears our cries when we are broken. Aren't you glad? The Bible said in Psalm chapter 3, it's my favorite verse in the Bible, that he is the glory and the lifter of my head. When I'm down and out, he hears my prayer. He sees my brokenness. He sees my sin. He sees what I'm struggling with, and he lifts my head up because he hears me. And he sees me. Aren't you glad he sees you today? Look at your neighbor and say, because I see you, and because I can hear you, I know what to do for you. I'm a good father. My baby, I'll tell you, she got me wrapped up, but I'm a good daddy. My answer to her 99% of the times is sure and yes. She gets corrected by her mom. Can't help it. But when she's hurting, when she's broken, when something is bothering her, I do not say to her, I'm going to the gun range, I won't be around. I can't hear you. I don't say, I definitely don't say I'm going to the golf course. I definitely don't say I'm going to play some basketball with Josh. That ain't happening. I get down on my knees and look at her in the face when she's crying and say, what's bothering you, honey? And when she tells me, I see what she's saying and I hear her. Listen, so then I know what to do to change it. That's the good thing about God hearing you and seeing you. He hears you, yes. He sees you, yes. So he can know what you need. He wants you to ask him this morning so he can hear it in his own ears. God, I need you to work on this. God, I need you to fix this. God, I need you to work. It's breaking my heart. I'm going through this hell. I don't know what to do. But God, I know that you're a good, good father. And when he hears you and he sees you, he starts moving because he knows what to do. God hears you. God knows. He sees you. Pastor, how can God see me? I'm in the worst place of my life. Aren't you so glad? God, does he know what that means? God, does he know the difference between worst and best? All he knows is best. He's God. There is no negative energy, if you want to say that, around him. There is no evil around him. We don't have to pray 5,000 times and name the devil 5,000 times. All you got to do is just say one name. God is bigger than the devil, y'all. Y'all know that this morning? The devil is not big. He is little compared to God. He don't even have a voice compared to God. I said it this morning, and I'm going to say it again. Pastor Parsley said it this morning. I'm just quoting him. You are in somebody's dream right now. Somebody is dreaming about you, and that's the devil. That means you're about to become the devil's worst nightmare. You about to with God, nothing is impossible. Why? He sees you. He knows your gas light's on. He knows your son or daughter is strung out. He knows your kids are wayward. He sees you. We got people in this church right now that are believing for salvation for their parents. He sees you. He hears you. And you know what the best thing about that is? Number two, she named her second kid Levi, which means attached. I'll never let go. Anybody ever been in a season in your life where you felt like that God was gone? He went to Cancun on vacation. He done left you. He's like in Taiwan. You can't even get a hold of him. He gone. He's in Hong Kong. He's gone. I can't even afford to get there. You say, Pastor, he has left the building. But can I tell you today? He is attached to you. See, Leah had an understanding that in the middle of her ugly, God heard her. Man, just think how scared. You would have the devil sweating. His knees would be having a fellowship meeting. If you knew that God heard you, if you knew that God seen you, and if you knew that God was attached to you. But Pastor, I don't feel him. Ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. The just don't live by feelings, the just live by faith. Faith is believing when you don't see, when you don't feel, when you don't hear, when it's hard, when it's stressful, when there's anxiety, when you're up all night pacing the floors because you don't know in your natural mind what you're going to do. I don't feel God, Pastor. I don't see God moving in my life. The more I pray, the worse it gets. The more I stand in faith, the worse it gets. The more I ask God, the worse it gets. I've asked him for healing, and the doctors now have given me 7 months to live. I have believed God. I have stood in faith. I've decreed the promises of the Lord. No matter how much I've shouted until I've lost my voice, I don't see God. I don't feel God. I don't hear God. Honey, you can't feel the wind, but you know it's there. You can't see the wind outside, but you know it's there. You can't hear the wind, but you know it's there. God is attached to you. Now, I don't like bugs. I really don't like cockroaches. You ever get a bug that jumped on your clothing and you're like, because you can't get it off and you ain't about to just, you know, that's how God is with us. You listen, you can't shake him. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I messed up. I blown it. I sinned. I backslid. Uh-huh. And God's still right there. The Bible said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Come on now. Listen, if you hurt me, Jameson will knock you out. He's bigger than I am. He got more muscle. He'll knock you out. He's my brother. If you hurt him, I'm going to fight you, because that's what we do. We brothers. We stick close to the hill, through the hot. When we see each other, it's like we were never apart. Just think of how closer God is with you. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a... As a matter of fact, David said, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is right there with me. Attached. Never let go. Never let go. Never let go. Never let go. He's got you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got you, neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got you. You may be here this morning and you may feel like Job in a valley of confusion. Where is God in all this? I've lost my kids, my wife, my car, my job. God, the devil's trying to find me. I'm all alone out here. I don't know what to do. I'm by myself and confused. My friends are saying to curse you so this affliction can come up off me, but I'm in the valley of confusion. Where are you, Job? God is there. You may feel today like Ezekiel, who was in the valley of clouded decision when God told him to speak to what wasn't there. Some of you are here today and you have something in your faith that you know God told you in prayer, but it looks like it's never going to happen. It looks like a dead thing is right in front of your face. You got to do what Ezekiel realized and speak with the power of God standing right beside you, that dead thing will live again. That son's going to get saved. That mom is going to get saved. That family is going to turn around. You will be free. You will. Pastor, I don't know what to do. God is right there with you. He sees you. Little old broke you. He hears you. Little old raspy voice you. I was praying yesterday and I lost my voice and I was praying. I said, God, I don't have a voice no more, but I just whisper these prayers to you. God hears your voice. You could completely lose your voice and God can hear you. You can sign it to Jesus. You can just say, it's ugly. It's ugly. We don't like what's ugly. Jacob loved beautiful more than he loved ugly. It's hard to go through facing ugly, isn't it? It's hard to grasp in your mind when you're fighting through ugly. God, where are you at? What are you doing in this season? But honey, I'm here to tell you today that God's about to give birth to praise right in the middle of that ugly. Right in the middle of that ugly. You're going to see today, it's prophetic. I believe this with all my heart. Today, things are changing in your spirit. Faith is arising. You are knowing that God sees you. You are knowing that God hears you. You are knowing that God is right here in the midst of the battle with you. He never steps up out of the boxing ring, you guys. He never gets up out of the fighting cage. He's right there with you. He fights your battles for you. The Bible said, stand still and see the salvation of God. You need to know today that your prayers are reaching heaven. He sees the valley you're in right now. He knows the ugly that you are facing, and he will never let go of you in the middle of it all. He sees you. He hears you. Tammy, he's attached to you. I looked at her the other day as she was laying in that hospital bed, couldn't breathe. I said, I'm sick and tired of this happening to you. Come on, somebody. Fighting for her life. Catch her outside, devil. How about that? She's here today. He sees you. He hears you. He's connected to you right now. God ties himself to your ugly. See, Jacob married ugly. God ties himself to whatever you're facing. Boy, it's good preaching right here. He's tied to your season. He's tied to your season. He's right there in your season. I know it don't feel like it. Some of you, I can see it in your eyes. You're like, yes, I'm right there. Some of you feel like, God, where are you? I've been praying. I've been decreeing. If you don't manifest right now in this situation, somebody's going to die. God sees you. God hears you. God doesn't let go. So Leah had this revelation about God. And so she gave birth to another son. And she named him Judah, which is, now I have a reason to praise. Now listen, let me encourage you with something. There was never a point before Judah was born. There's just a few verses there. There was never a point before Judah was born where Jacob came to Leah and said, I am so sorry, I think you're gorgeous.
Say that.
There was never a point where things in the natural shifted. Never, not once. There was never a point where the doctor retracted his statement. Not one time. There was never a point where the lawyer's office called her and said, oops, sorry, we made a mistake. That last call wasn't true. There was never a point where that husband got saved, that child got saved, that addiction fell off, that bondage was removed. There was never a point before this son born where anything happened. But she had a knowing about God. She knew God saw her. She knew God heard her. She knew God was right there in the middle of her ugly. So she said to herself, I'm naming this thing right here praise. I'm going to praise him as if I had it. I'm going to praise him as if he already did it. I'm going to praise him in the middle of my ugly. My ugly's giving birth. Some of y'all ought to get on that right now. My ugly's giving birth to my praise. Marriage, you might be ugly right now, but watch me praise Jesus. Money, you may be acting funny, but watch me praise Jesus. Relationships may be upside down, but you better watch me praise him anyhow. Look at your neighbor and say, you better praise all through that. Now watch as John begins to play lightly on the piano. Watch this. When my wife gave birth to Olivia, it was ugly. There was blood involved. There was screaming in the room. There was manifestations of demons in the room. Just kidding. For her, it wasn't comfortable. Come on, ladies. I've never given birth. I'm not going to plan on it. But what I saw in her face was not anything pleasant. All I saw was pain. She's like, morphine! Sorry, Mrs. Gallardo, we can't give you morphine because that could affect the baby. Epidural now! My wife, she was trying to be a champion, and she really was a champion when we gave birth to our daughter, but she's like, baby, I'm not going to get any pain medicines. That's what I said. She's like, my mama didn't do it. She birthed 6 kids, 3 of which she had no uterus, and the last 3, you know. Listen, guys, listen. My mom got healed. My mother-in-law, she had a cancerous cell in her uterus, And so they removed that cell. Well, what I heard her say was she had a cancerous cell in her uterus and they removed her uterus and then she had 3 more kids. I'm like, God is a miracle worker. So no, listen, I just got really quiet because I'm like, man, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's horrible. I went around the country telling that story about how my mom had a miraculous uterus appear in her body, and if God could heal her, God could heal. Until one time my wife said, she was hearing me tell that story, and she, after church, she goes, we have to talk. I was like, what? She goes, you know how my mom got healed? I'm like, yeah, that's such a powerful story. I mean, look at God. Wow. But when we was in that room up there at Center Point, she got the epidural because I knew that wasn't going to happen. I was letting her do her. I was like, you do you, boo. I'm just going to watch. I'm going to support. I'm going to do all that. Try not to pass out. And then I totally got distracted of the beauty of what was happening. Because it really is beautiful. Unless you're the one giving birth, you know. Then it's a lot of sweat involved. A lot of screams involved. Blood tearing. But once you behold that baby. Come on, guys. Gals. Once you see that little, I tell my little girl all the time, as dirty and nasty as it sounds, when she still had all that stuff all over, I started just kissing her right here on her lips. I didn't even care. I was like, the nurse was like, are you okay? I'm like, I didn't care. Some of y'all maybe thought that she looked like that picture up there. I didn't care. I didn't care. Because to me, It was fulfillment of what we had been believing God for. And what took my wife much pressure, much, she had those Brixton cracks. Braxton Hicks. She didn't have no cracks. Well, I'll be going sleeping on the couch tonight, I guess. There's much pain involved. But Olivia is the greatest, outside of our relationship, she's the greatest joy of my life. You know, she makes me smile. She makes me frustrated. She makes me laugh. She makes me like, I know that you got that from me, you know. I see her in me. She acts like me. She talks like me. She does goofy stuff like me. I know she's my DNA. She's me, right? But it was through much pressure that she came. And some of you who are here today, you're in the middle of a season of pressure in your life. All hell is breaking loose. You're looking at, you look to the left, and it's just unpleasant to look at. You get the phone call, and it's an, you, before, when you see that caller ID, your heart starts racing. You walk up to Walmart, and there meets you with ugly, right? They just come in, and, oh man, God help me, Jesus. They're like showing up on your front door, ding dong. Shh, ugly's on the front door. Drama's on your Facebook. Twitter is acting crazy. Some of y'all need to come up to the Times and use Twitter. It's way better than Facebook. Nobody said nothing. All the older saints are like, what's Twitter? See, yeah. Rob, you're not supposed to say yeah that you're older, man. Come on, dude. All the ugly in life. All the pain in life. God's right by your side. God sees you. God hears you. So therefore, because you know God sees you, God hears you, He's right by your side, you can stand in the middle of a storm and be like, I praise you, Lord. I will praise you in this storm. I will lift my hands. Because you see me. You hear me. And you're right here.